RV Family Travel Atlas is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Get an RV policy quote by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV.
And the Thetford Corporation, the industry expert and innovation leader. Thetford has made RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. To see a complete lineup of products, visit Thetford.com.
And by Jayco. Since 1968, Jayco has been providing a way for generations of families to create lasting memories. For more information, visit your local Jayco dealer or head over to Jayco.com.
And by Campgrounds of America. To find out what's behind the yellow sign, visit KOA.com or download the free KOA app today. Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com. And you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are talking about our recent trip to Walt Disney World in Orlando, Florida. After hanging out at the Florida RV Super Show, we couldn't leave the Sunshine State without paying Mickey and his friends a little visit.
So we rented an RV from Lazy Days in Tampa, reserved a site at the Fort Wilderness Campground, and showed our boys around the most magical place on Earth. Listen to hear all about our planning and preparation, our first experience with an RV rental, and our favorite park rides and dining treats.
You might think that a trip to Disney is nothing like the typical RV adventure, and you would be absolutely correct. You are listening to episode number 128, Greetings from Walt Disney World, the most magical place on Earth.
Before we head into this week's featured topic, Greetings from Walt Disney World, the most magical place on Earth, we have our news roundup, which is sponsored by our friends at the Thetford Corporation.
Thetford is the industry expert and innovation leader, and they've been making RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. And Thetford has everything you need to keep your tank systems in top-notch operating condition. They've got drain valve, all right? And this lubricates your holding tank systems and it coats your plumbing line for smooth tank evacuation.
Now, when I go on an RV trip, one of my top priorities
evacuation
is smooth tank evacuation.
Yeah, I love the euphemisms in this when we get to talk about Thetford's products, right? So the drain valve works on black and gray water tanks and it's 100% biodegradable liquid. You can see a complete lineup of products at Thetford.com.
You know what else you can do if you're at Disney World at the Trading Post?
Get Thetford products?
You can buy Thetford products.
Really? You
they
saw
were there.
Them? Oh,
yep.
My gosh.
Had a little AquaSoft, a little AquaSoft TP if you run
we
out.
We should have taken a picture
and,
for our Thetford
they
friends.
They had some of your other Thetford basics right there at Fort Wilderness.
Oh,
so
that's
even
good.
If you're at Disney, Thetford's got your back.
Well, because even at Disney, you need your tanks to be in peak operating condition. All
well,
right.
At the most magical place on Earth, you really want to make sure you have smooth tank evacuation.
Absolutely, 100%. All right. Now, the most important item of our news roundup. You need to know this. All right. This is one of our paired episodes. That means that we stayed at Fort Wilderness Campground when we were visiting Walt Disney World. However, we are not going to speak hardly hide nor hair of Fort Wilderness on this podcast episode. You need to go over to Campground of the Week. It is episode number 67. We gave a complete, detailed, minute review of Fort Wilderness over there.
And it's actually not just a paired episode. There's going to be three episodes that come together into one package for you. So this episode is all about Walt Disney World, about the parks that we went to and the dining and all that stuff. And we've decided we're going to give the Wizarding World of Harry Potter its own episode next week. So we're going to do an episode that breaks down Harry Potter and some of the Universal Studio stuff because that's of high interest too. And we had an amazing time there. So we're not going to let that content go.
Right. We were going to squeeze it all into one episode, but it does. It gets to be too much, and then you rush instead of really doing the detail that everybody wants to hear. So you're going to stay tuned for that next week.
Now, RVFTA Live this week on Facebook, Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern, we're going to be talking all things Disney and Fort Wilderness.
If everybody wants to talk about it.
Oh, yeah. People want to talk about it. So if you have questions mm-hmm. about either Fort Wilderness or about Disney World that we didn't answer in the two podcasts, please come onto the Facebook Live. We're happy to answer questions, point you
and
in the right direction.
Maybe other people will too, right? Disney is something
Great.
That people love to talk about. So if you want to get recommendations from other people, in addition to our recommendations, that's going to be a good place to do it.
There was so much enthusiasm about our Disney posts, like on Instagram, and a lot of them were from people who had been to Disney many, many times mm-hmm. and are just like, oh, cool, they're there too, and kind of giving their tips and their experience.
Yeah.
And then lots of people who've never been and want to go. And as you're going to get into in this show, Stephanie, planning a Disney trip is a bit more complex than planning another type of RV vacation. I know you say it doesn't have to be, but
it feels
it
that
kind
way.
Of is.
It does feel that way, and we're going to talk more about that. And then another thing we can talk about on the Facebook Live is our RV rental experience. This was the first time we ever did it. We really wanted to cover what this is like. We think that this is a viable way to travel, so we will also be chatting about that on Facebook
Live. Yeah, we got a Classy from Lazy Days RV in Tampa, and in fact, you know, we're going to do another whole episode on Lazy Days. We took a private, like, 2 to 3 hour tour of Lazy Days. It was amazing. It's like the mecca of RV dealerships. And we think we're just going to do a whole episode on that too and
Again,
kind of share what that experience is
all
about.
Why try to squeeze it all into one episode? It was way too much for that. Okay, now, last time we're going to remind you, next week, February 17th through 19th, we are going to be at the Atlantic City RV Show in Atlantic City, obviously New Jersey. On Saturday, we would be happy to meet and greet you and just hang out and have a drink at a happy hour at the Shoe Bar in the Sheraton, which is in the convention center, you know, attached to the RV show. We will go over there after our 5 o'clock presentation. So our 5 o'clock presentation on Saturday is our last one of the day. And then we'd be happy to walk over and grab a drink and
Stephanie's
say,
Stephanie's going to need a drink after 4 presentations.
Oh.
She's going to feel like she's a teacher again.
Unwind.
We're doing 4 presentations Friday, 4 presentations Saturday, and 2 on Sunday. To get that complete schedule, it's at gsmedia.com, and they have all their RV shows around the country. So if you're in another region and you can't come to this one, you can also see what other shows they're putting on, but you can get the event schedule right there.
All right. So then hopefully we'll see you there if you can make it. And otherwise, we'll be doing a Facebook Live from the show in Atlantic City. So that'll be fun. All right.
Can we do it at 3 o'clock on that?
Oh,
day?
We'll have to check the
we
schedule
might have to
and see.
The time.
But we might have to adjust the time, but that's okay. We're definitely going to do the Facebook Live from the RV
Why
show
not?
On Friday.
Somebody's going to be watching the kids.
Fun
we're going to be footloose and fancy free. We'll show you some RVs at the show.
All right. You ready to talk Disney?
Yeah. We're going to come back in a second for segment one, all about planning and preparation. So stay tuned. Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for segment one of our big episode, Greetings from Walt Disney World. And segment one is all about planning and preparation. But first, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Campgrounds of America.
RVing and camping is more popular than ever, and the best campsites are being booked now. A great way to beat those winterization blues is by trip planning, and KOA makes that as easy as possible.
We have booked 3 KOA trips already for 2017.
Done. I think all of our 2017 is like almost completely booked.
We're
up.
Almost done. We have about 2 more trips to plan. We have a fall trip to plan and maybe another like long weekend type trip, but we're getting pretty booked up for 2017, definitely. Now listen, you can use their online reservation tool at KOA.com, or you can download the KOA app and use that to search for the perfect KOA for your next trip. And that KOA app...
You really like that for research purposes.
I do for research purposes. Yeah. There's photos of the campgrounds. There's the phone numbers you need. They do pack in all the information you need to make a reservation on the app, and it is very simple.
All right. Or you can wait for that KOA directory to show up in the mail and start dreaming then. But you might want to hop online before that. That's your favorite
early
way to
February.
Do it.
that KOA directory should be in our mailbox, and I hope about a month in early March.
Yeah.
And I always say when you open up the mailbox and the KOA directory is there, it's like that first warm ray
of yellow sunshine.
Of yellow sunshine. bursting out of the mailbox.
All right. So to find out what's behind the yellow sign, visit KOA.com and start making your reservations today.
All right. First, a little bit of a disclaimer on this. We are not trying to do the insider's guide right. to all things Disney. We're going to go back to Disney. This yeah. was one trip to Disney, and you can't cover the whole thing in one trip. If you try, you're crazy.
Yeah, people walk away from Disney trips sometimes feeling a little frazzled. And I think it's because they do try to do everything that the quote-unquote experts tell them to do. And I want to say one more thing about that before we dive in. Disney is such a commodity of information. Like, it's just people have entire businesses built around providing people with information about Disney. So, you know, we do RV travel, but like, we're going all over the place. Like, there are people that have blogs just on Disney. There are podcasts just on Disney.
Do you know,
like,
what my grandfather used to say about experts, though?
What?
My grandfather used to say that an expert is somebody from out of town with a briefcase.
All right. Well.
And in this case, an expert is somebody with a blog.
Well, yeah. Well, that goes to Disney all the time. And, you know, so there's just a lot of that with Disney planning. So what happens is you can feel like you have to sort of tap into all of that information before you plan your Disney trip. And I'm going to be honest, I think that it can be a little bit paralyzing. And I want to reflect on that a little bit as we're talking about planning and preparation, because, you know, I really went into this trip feeling nervous, and I actually kind of plan trips for a living. So,
well, one thing that was kind of interesting here too is that, you know, I often book the campgrounds in our relationship now, and then I'm involved in the trip planning and things like that. On this one, I just sort of like handed you that hot potato.
Yeah,
I mean, I was
did.
Like, Stephanie, we're going to Disney World. Figure it out.
You did.
Because you can take it.
It's in the details.
It's in the details, but you're able to take it to that next level and just nail this type of trip. And part of the way you nail it is by not going to type A.
All right. Exactly. So we're going to talk about what I ended up doing with that, whether I felt comfortable with it, and how it ended up working out for us. Okay. So first things first, you do need to make reservations and plans far in advance when you're visiting. We went at one of the quietest times of the year, and Fort Wilderness was 100% booked.
Sold out.
Right. And I had to juggle to get some of the reservations that I wanted and some of the fast passes that I wanted. I ended up working it all out, but Fort Wilderness is a resort property and you get the benefits of that by booking in advance, but it's still not like everything was available
for instance, you had booked Mickey's Backyard Barbecue, and then we decided to change the date and we couldn't rebook it for another day, right? So,
well,
you need to get all that stuff lined up.
I booked months in advance for Mickey's Backyard Barbecue when that window opened up, and even then the only time slot that was available was that Thursday night. So even in advance, some things are going to be tricky. So yes, people are correct on that. That's what I'm giving a thumbs up to, the advice to use that in advance booking option when you stay on the property. I didn't get on, like, I had a friend who set her alarm for midnight in that 60-day, you know, window that you get in advance if you're staying on a property. She set her alarm that night to wake up and make reservations. I have to say I scoffed at that a little bit. I didn't take it that seriously, but I probably should have.
But let's explain that, though. So, you look, you can make reservations for a year in advance or more.
Yeah.
In fact, I just made reservations for next year.
Oh, you're telling me that now as we record.
Yeah. And, well, I mean, actually, we'll see if we can pull it off. But I made the reservations. But then what happens is, I think Stephanie's right, 60 days
it
before.
It is 60 days, yeah.
Then you can book your dining experiences.
And your Fast Pass.
I thought Fast Passes were only a few.
Nope, oh, Fast 62. Pass plus 60 days
right,
in advance.
Right, so you might
yeah.
book your campsite or your hotel, but then you have all this other stuff to book still.
Yeah, exactly.
And you do need to write down the mm-hmm. day at which it becomes available. And they will tell you. When I booked my site at Fort Wilderness today, they said, okay, on July whatever, you can make your dining reservations.
Yeah.
And you got to play that game.
You do. And I think that that is something that I poo-pooed, that in retrospect, this time I will be serious about that in order to get exactly what
I want. But
you did
a great job. We got we did everything we wanted to do, 95% of everything we wanted to do.
Oh, it was a perfect vacation. So that's why now is a good time to reflect on what made it that way, right? Okay, so the mythology surrounding booking a Disney trip. You know, everybody talks about it like it's such a big deal. I have 7-year-old boys. So that means that my mom friends have been going to Disney for like the last 6 years, right? I've had mom friends taking epic trips to Disney. So I've been seeing the whole planning process. And in fact, when I reached out to some of my friends, I got names for trip planners. I got emailed from some of my friends spreadsheets of their itineraries that they actually had kept and made with like hour by hour time slots of different things. I really saw the whole gamut. And that threw me into this tizzy of like, I don't know what I'm doing. And it's so funny because I'm confident with planning like 4-week RV vacations that we take all around the country.
You're confident in planning like, where are we going hiking in Acadia National Park, you know, and things like that. I mean, planning Disney's about like, what 3 rides are you going to reserve? I mean, it gets very minute.
I think so. Now in hindsight, it's 2020. And in retrospect, I feel that because of the amount of information that is out there about Disney, by sheer size of that, like, you know, that just amount of information, it feels more overwhelming than it needs to be. I actually don't think that there's that much information that you actually need to plan a successful trip to Disney. So to plan or not to plan, we already mentioned, yes, plan your dining as soon as it opens up, make that alert in your phone and definitely abide by that.
And then also you need to do the fast pass thing. Mm-hmm. And the way you did, I give you all the credit, the way Stephanie decided to do this worked perfectly. A fast pass allows you to reserve 3 rides. Then once you've used those 3 rides, you can do 1 at a time. But what Stephanie decided to do was not to book the most popular ride, but to get there early to the park and then run to that ride. Mm-hmm. And it worked for us every single day.
So I saw that tip somewhere. So again, that right. All that Disney information out there, it's helpful. I saw that tip and I thought, that makes sense. So we did it.
We did it. We got on Space Mountain twice.
Yeah, we did.
10-minute wait.
We did that for both Magic Kingdom and Epcot for Soarin'. I did not book those as fast passes because when you go on, they're so popular that the fast passes can be like later in the day, and that'll totally like, you know, mess you up because if you don't free up those 3 fast passes early on, you're not going to get more.
We got on Soarin' in 10 minutes, mm-hmm. and I waited outside with Wes because Wes couldn't go on. By the time you guys exited the ride,
I think it was a half hour, right?
No. 45-minute wait. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we did our first ride that way. Then you scheduled 3 Fast Pass rides after
boom,
that.
Boom, 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 boom.
So and that was 4 rides before lunch or, you know, up to about the time of lunch. And that's pretty awesome. It worked
exactly.
really well.
And that was the theory. Get the 4 most important rides to you, right, out of the way. Boom, boom, boom. You get it done. You can enjoy lunch and then, like, regroup and figure out how the day is at the park, what you want to do. And from there, we just kind of kept going
you
after.
You were working that Fast Pass. Well,
it was
burning
easy.
Up.
So there's a lot of back and forth about this Fast Pass Plus and, like, whether people like it or not. It worked really well for us.
I cannot
we loved it.
Comprehend. I'm sorry. I can't comprehend complaining about it and saying it doesn't work. I went to Disney World 4 times as a kid from the time I was about 12 to the time I was about 17. And this is over 20 years ago. And one of my dominant memories of the Magic Kingdom and Epcot is of waiting in line, mm-hmm. waiting in line for 60 minutes, for 90 minutes. We did not wait in a line longer than 20 minutes. I swear to you, we didn't. I said that on social media and somebody's like, oh, that's incredible. That's hard to believe. I am telling you, we did not wait on one line over 20 minutes.
You're right. So what we did after that was we knew we had hit the rides that we were really super interested in doing. So after that, it was all gravy. It was like, oh, this is available. That's available. And because it was a quieter time. So of course I understand that if you go during peak time, you're not going to have the ease of experience that we did. But because of that, we blew through Small World, Thunder Mountain. And we'll talk more about the individual rides when we get to the park.
I have to say, I have to bring this into the podcast. I don't know if Stephanie's going to like it or not. I don't care. My mother and brother decided to join us at Disney World.
This is a complicated story.
Four days
oh my gosh.
Before we left, my mother got some cheap flight and booked a room at the Contemporary. I still don't know if my brother and my mother shared a room or got 2 rooms. And Max and Theo kept asking. I never inquired. Now, my mom and my brother love them. We had a great time with them. I'm so glad they shared the Disney experience with us. And Max and Theo and Wes were so excited to see them. And they surprised them at the Magic Kingdom.
It was nice. It really was.
My mom and my brother did not use the Fast Pass. They could not even comprehend what it meant.
Yeah.
When I told them about reserving rides in the Fast Pass, it was like I was speaking another language.
They were in another
universe. My brother, my poor brother, who's older than I am, actually did want to go on rides, but he couldn't go on all of them with us because we'd go up to a ride. We had the fast pass reserved and he had a 60-minute wait.
And I said, I'm not doing it. Like, I love you, but like, just because you decided to come to Disney 4 days prior, like, I'm not giving up my fast pass here. We're not waiting in line for you.
It was perhaps the most poorly planned trip to Disney World ever, combined with our, I think, really excellently planned trip to Disney World. So it formed a funny contrast. Actions have consequences. And we made it work. We shared meals with them. We had a really nice time with my mom and my brother. But the whole time, we were seeing the result of not planning, of having no idea what you were doing.
Now, for dining, again, that's something that people get carried away with in terms of their reservations and making the character meal. Meals and stuff. We didn't get too carried away with that. We definitely did the hoop-de-doo review. You can hear more about that over on the Fort Wilderness review. We did that on the first day we got there. And then I planned the other character meal that we were going to on the Thursday. But, you know, I didn't plan a character meal while we were in Magic Kingdom because, again, I wanted the freedom and flexibility to go with like the fast pass and to see what was available and to do the rides and experiences. I didn't want to be hampered by a reservation time
period. I'm so glad
you didn't think that worked well for us.
And not only that, but buried in what you just said, I think is a great tip. On your arrival day, right? I mean, as long as you're not flying 10 hours or something, on your arrival day, you might consider booking one of those character meals at your resort. So see what your resort, Fort Wilderness, for all you RV people out there, you know, do the hoop-de-doo on the day you show up, because it's going to be hard to go over to Magic Kingdom on the same day that you fly in. But you might actually be able to end up at the hoop-de-doo, and that's a great way to start your Disney vacation.
All right. Another thing about planning is food. A lot of people make a big deal out of packing a lunch to bring into the parks and everything just to save money, not have to buy. For us, we opted not to do that. We had a casual lunch at the Pinocchio Village house, which was
totally fine, leaning towards pretty good.
Yeah. And then when we were in Epcot, we ate at Germany because that was a sentimental thing that you wanted to do.
I went as a teenager. I loved it.
So we did that.
And we loved it again.
But I have to say that I think the economics of packing the lunch, like when you factor in the amount of money that you're going to spend to pack your lunch, because it still costs money to pack that food, and then the hassle of like carrying it around and having it and everything, like, to me, yes, a casual lunch in Disney cost us, I think, probably $70,
70-80 for five of us,
but that's basically 50, right? Because it would have cost us $30 to bring it in. And I don't know. I'm at Disney. I'd rather just spend the money
and not worry.
I would save
money by doing breakfast at the RV at Fort Wilderness and perhaps a late dinner at the RV. I think it is nice to eat at the park. I was talking to some old school Disney veterans who were camping at the fort by us, an older couple that had like all these crazy Disney ornaments all over their RV. And they said, you know what? Not much has changed here in the last 10 years, but the food is so much better, you know? So there is decent food to be had at Disney.
Yeah, absolutely. And is it pricey? Yes. But still, I think it was worth it for us to just go with those casual food options. And then Germany, and that worked okay with it for us. I don't regret that we didn't lug in a lunch.
And we said it on the other podcast. Don't go to Disney and the whole time be stressed out about, oh my God, this costs that much. Oh my God, lunch costs that much. Oh my God, my iced tea costs $5.
Yeah.
Just if that's you, and I'm not saying this to be obnoxious, if that's you, I would consider not going.
Yeah, or really have a budget game in place ahead of time.
You're going to be flipped out the whole time.
Yeah. So then the last thing I want to say about planning and preparation is that the My Disney Experience app is fantastic. You need to have your account all like synced up. You need to have the app on your phone. I had all of our reservations. I had all of our fast passes on that app. They show up. All of our names were there. It was so helpful, and it really is a great app. I could search for when we wanted to switch our dining reservations. I was sitting there on that app just looking for, oh, is there another time I can get the Mickey's Backyard Barbecue? It is so easy to use. It's a great app. You need it.
It's a revolution in these theme parks. You know, they realized everyone's got a cell phone on them, and people can manage their reservations, their meals, and their rides right from their cell phone. It's changed the game. It has changed the game. This is a different experience than when we were teenagers going to Disney and Universal, for that matter.
So to wrap it up, I think that it was I did not spend as much time as many people do planning their Disney vacations. I had a lot of anxiety. I thought that I had not done it well. But the bottom line is that planning a trip to Disney is not very different than planning a trip anywhere else. It's just like on steroids. It's just a bigger planning experience. It's not different. All the same principles that we've been talking about in this podcast in terms of like getting places early, right? Having a flexible game plan in place ahead of time. Knowing what you're going to splurge on and the things you're going to save money on. All those things, it's the same
and
when you go to Disney.
Overdoing it. We've said this about going to national parks. We've said this about all kinds of RV trips. Don't try and do too much. Less can be more. Cutting back a little bit on what you try to accomplish in a day and just allowing yourself to relax can be really magical and fun at Disney World too.
Yeah, I think it left us feeling like we had the best vacation instead of some people leave feeling like they need a vacation. So those are all sort of the planning and prep feedback, you know, reflections that we have. Now we're actually going to go into our next segment, which is going to talk about our first RV rental that we did through Lazy Days at the Fort Wilderness Campground. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for segment two of our big Disney World episode. And this is going to be all about the Lazy Days RV rental, okay, which was a huge part of our trip and it worked out incredibly well. So we want to break down that experience for you, give you some tips and tricks for getting your own Lazy Days RV rental for your trip to Disney or wherever you might want to go in Florida. But first, a sponsored message from our friends at Jayco.
You can make memories for years to come with the designer luxury fifth wheel from Jayco. Choose from a selection of stunning features and awe-inspiring residential amenities and find a unit that matches your family legacy. Turn heads every season wherever you go and do it with peace of mind from Jayco's 2-year limited warranty. Visit your local Jayco dealer or www.jayco.com for more information. Jayco, generations of family fun.
I could see being in a Jayco fifth wheel and spending a month at Disney every winter.
You could definitely do that. 65 is calling you.
There were people there doing it. And they weren't all 65.
A lot of them. It was amazing to us how many people do spend their winter season at Fort Wilderness.
Absolutely.
We can imagine it.
Let's break down this whole Lazy Days RV rental thing. Now, I think that primarily what we're talking about here, the first decision you want to make as an RVer with your Disney World trip is, do you want to tow or not tow? So we decided we were not going to drive from New Jersey to Florida towing our RV in January on my winter break. I did not want to do all that driving. It would have chewed up 3 to 4 days of my winter break, and we didn't want to do it. So we finally said, we're just going to fly in, and we're going to rent an RV because we wanted to do Fort Wilderness. I didn't want to stay at the Contemporary.
Right.
I don't want to stay at any of those Disney hotels. I mean, they're awesome, but I want to be at the campground.
Well, and that's the issue, is that oftentimes we talk about RV culture, but really what we're talking about, too, is campground culture. So we have become practically addicted, I think, to the campground experience when we travel. It brings an entire other, you know, side of your experience. And that was in full effect on this trip. When you are at the park, you are having a marvelous time. You're having an amazing time. You're having the time of your life, and it is also exhausting. But when you leave at 6 o'clock from Magic Kingdom and you go back to Fort Wilderness and you step off that boat into a campground, it's like your whole body relaxes. And so I want to be very clear on this. We're not saying that you should decide to rent an RV at Fort Wilderness because it's a budget option.
Yeah. In other words, if you're buying airline tickets, and then you're renting an RV and then paying your campground fee every night.
Right.
It's comparable to staying at a hotel. Now, I still think it might even be a little bit cheaper.
It depends. You can't say that. We keep having this fight because you can't say that. It depends on where people are coming from. There's so many factors that will feed into whether or not it's a budget option for you. How far away from Disney World are you? What kind of truck do you drive? So what kind of gas mileage are you getting? Do you need to stop overnight on your way down and pay campground fees? Do you have limited time or do you have extended time? There's so many different things that are, do you live near a major airport and you can get cheap airfare?
But here's where the RV and like a Lazy Days RV rental is such a better option to me. We're a family of five. We know a lot of our listeners out there. You're a family of six, a family of seven. I don't want to be in one hotel room with our three boys. I do not.
Right.
To be in that Winnebago Class C we rented from Lazy Days, where we all have our own bed and we all have our own space. It worked out much, much better for me.
Exactly. So if you crunch the numbers, we think for most people, it will boil down to it being a comparable cost. So you could either pay all of the, you know, gas and driving and all of that to drive your RV down to Florida, right, and spend less time down there. Or you could purchase plane tickets, get the campsite, and rent an RV. And we think for most people, it will come out about even. So let's talk some examples.
Let's give numbers here.
Okay.
Now, our site at Fort Wilderness was $96 a night. You could get sites that are a bit more expensive. You could get
less.
You could get sites that are less too.
The range is $53 through $163.
Now, Lazy Days has this awesome pamphlet with about, say, what, about 10 different RVs they have in their rental fleet, maybe 12 different RVs. Yep. And the prices range from $150 a day to $500 a day, correct? Was that top one, $500, Stephanie?
Yep, the Thor Outlaw Toy Hauler.
There's kind of something at every price point. Like, there's one at $150 a day. There's one at $200 a day. There's one at $225 a day. There's one at $275. $300, $325, $325, $500. So they have a range of price points. So you could get something more budget at $150 a night. They could still sleep a family of four or five, or you can get that
it
top
sleeps
of
six. Their sleep budget six. Because, yeah, it still has the over cab bed. Then it has the dinette that you can, you know.
And it's a motorhome.
Yeah. And it's all Class C, Class A. That's all they have for their rentals. Now, so what we're saying is that you can find a comparable cost. I have a friend who right now is looking for reservations at Disney World for some sort of suite or cabin or something that sleeps six. She is struggling to find anything lower than $800 for six people because they need separate rooms.
So why doesn't she just rent the 2017 Thor Outlaw 38RE for $500 a day? It sleeps eight. And it's a Class A toy hauler.
I know. It's
you
really
can
that's
open
their
up
luxury
the back deck at Fort Wilderness. So that's $500 for the RV, $100 for your site. That's $600. That's $200 less than what she's looking at in terms of a suite.
And not only that, but you really do get the comfort of the kitchen, right? Not just like sometimes a kitchenette, that kind of a thing that you get. You do have the full kitchen. And since you're renting the campsite, you have all the outdoor space of the campsite, which we know is such a difference when you're
and
talking
you,
travel.
You can do a linens package with Lazy Days, and you can do a kitchen package where they basically have this big bin full of all your basic kitchen necessities. It had a coffee pot. It had everything we needed to eat and drink out of the kitchen during the week. And the linen package worked really well for the five of us.
Sheets, towels, and there was ample of them for all five of us. There's also an outdoor kit if you want it, like campfire chairs and everything. And then there's a bike rack that you can rent if you have your bikes. Like, so if you're more local to the Florida area and you have your bikes, then you can use that. Of course, we weren't traveling with our bikes.
Now, in their fleet, they have two Class Cs that are that traditional Class C bunkhouse model. So they have a 2013 Fleetwood Tioga that's $200 per day. And it's got the master bedroom in the back. It's got two bunks on a slide, and then it's got that huge bed over the driving area. Then they have a 2017 Thor Four Winds. It's that same classic floor plan. Every RV manufacturer makes it, and that's what we stayed in. And they have the 2017 at $275 a day. That very comfortably sleeps – they say it sleeps 10 here. Right? I mean, it slept the five of us very, very comfortably.
We were so happy in that Class C. And it's really funny because we always say to people, oh, if you're thinking about a motorized and you're not sure, go and rent. But I have to say, after this experience, I would say that more than ever because it was, I mean, we've been in so many Class Cs. We've toured them. We've looked at them at shows. Staying in a Class C with our kids over the course of 5 days, we were remarkably comfortable.
And
I couldn't believe how
listen,
much we loved it.
Let's talk about, you know, why rent from Lazy Days, okay? They're not the only show in town. So why go Lazy Days?
Well, let's talk first about the rig choice. And I want to encourage everybody, like, the website that lazydays.com, like, you can see their entire fleet and pictures of each one of the options. So this is different than a lot of those RV rentals that are like just the standard
beat up old Class Cs.
With no slides, right? And so it's not really like
these are nice RVs.
These are nice RVs.
And almost all of them are 2017s. Not all of them, yeah, but most of them are 2017s.
Some of the budget options are a little bit
So you're
going
to be in a nice, newer RV. Now, also, I would encourage you to maybe consider renting from Lazy Days because you get to go to Lazy Days.
Yeah.
And Lazy Days floored us. It's the largest RV dealership in the world. It's worth your time to kind of maybe like go pick up that rental there and check out all the RVs at Lazy Days.
Yeah. And we were excited to go. You know, Lazy Days is iconic. It is the largest RV dealership in the world. So when we were going to get an RV for a rental from them, we also wanted to go. We wanted, you know, we have a RV podcast. We wanted to see Lazy Days and look at it. And we thought we'd incorporate that into the segment. But the bottom line is that after our visit there,
too much content.
We were like, there's no way we can really talk about everything we want to talk about with this place without doing a whole other show on it. So we will.
You could fly in, go rent from Lazy Days, and they have an RV resort on their property. You could spend the first day there chilling out, doing a little RV shopping, looking around. They have restaurants on site. They have over 1,500 RVs on their Lazy Days campus. That's more RVs than the Florida RV Super Show has.
Yeah.
So it's like going to a gigantic RV show. I would say maybe spend a night at Lazy Days, check out their whole, you know, campus, and then head off to Disney or head off to Tampa or head off to St. Pete's in that rental. There's lots of fun vacation options. It doesn't just have to be Disney.
And we really emphasized that, you know, last week when we were talking about the Florida RV Super Show, is that every year we go down there, we're more impressed by the travel opportunities that time of year in that area. So people rave about the Florida state parks, and this is such an easy way. You know, it's very hard for us to get down to Florida in the winter because it takes 2 days at the front end and 2 days at the back end to get home. And we don't have that kind of time in the winter, but we see all these pictures of people hanging out at these beautiful Florida campgrounds. Fly down. We have Spirit that flies out by us so cheap to get a ticket. Fly down, hop in this rental, and you can have an awesome week-long trip.
We started posting these photos of our Lazy Days RV rental at Disney on social media. And on the second or third day, somebody said, thank you so much. We just rented an RV from Lazy Days.
I'm
so
obsessed.
Listen, if you're in New York State, if you're in Michigan, if you're in Ohio, and you have a winter vacation, and you're like, I'm just not driving to Disney, you can still go to Disney in an RV and get the Fort Wilderness experience. You're just going to rent one. And I think this worked out incredibly well, and I think we'll do it every winter.
When we did this whole trip from, you know, the rental to the Fort Wilderness to the Disney thing, I'm planning the whole thing, and I honestly planned it like this is a one-shot deal. This is a once in a, you know.
That's what you thought.
This was such a fantastic experience, and it really, it was inspiring to me. I felt like it opened up a whole new world. And, you know, Lazy Days rents out in Colorado too. Like, it's all on the website. They're different locations.
And in the show notes, we'll link to their rental information.
Absolutely. Okay. All this will be in the show notes because I really love how their website is organized. I think when I was looking at it, I was able to get a really good idea for, you know, the cost. I love that. It feels clear on the cost, all the added options. So I have to say that I enjoyed this more than I ever thought I would.
Yeah, and I really do like that they have a couple budget options, you know, at $150 a day or $200 a day. And I like that they have this fun, crazy Class A toy hauler option at $500 if you wanted to splurge.
But think about that $500 option. I said if you've got, like, you know, your family and you're taking a week-long trip, get for $500 a day, you can go from state park to state park or go from one place to another. You're like traveling with this awesome party house on wheels. I mean, it's got the back, you know, it's the Class A with the patio deck that comes out. It's pretty awesome.
And as somebody pointed out on social media, you know, lots of our listeners are travel trailer owners, fifth wheel owners. If you want to try a motorhome and see if a motorhome's right for you.
That was fun.
It was really fun. And I'm like, you know, we just bought a toy hauler and I'm sitting there in that Class A and I'm like, I really, really like this Class A.
It fit our family of five far better than I expected it to. And you know what, too? It was a quality RV that they were providing. It wasn't like I said, with some of the other rental fleets, you feel like it's a little like like they're making bare bones because they don't want anything to get messed up, you know? And this was like, we felt like we had borrowed somebody's RV, right? For the week. It was nice. We loved it.
It was really nice. Huge so, thank you to Lazy
up.
Days.
Huge thank
Definitely
you.
Definitely give them consideration if you want to fly and then rent an RV and head to Fort Wilderness.
Yeah. And an upcoming episode, we think you should also give them consideration if you're looking to buy, and we'll talk about why, because who wouldn't want
to
buy
really
from Lazy Days?
I'm excited to do the episode on Lazy Days and show you, like, kind of give you a behind the scenes look at everything that happens there. It blew me away. I knew the place was big and impressive. I had no idea that it really was like a college campus.
Yeah. So we have talked about sort of our planning, our preparation for the trip. We've also talked about the very high interest RV rental that we did through Lazy Days. But now we have to get down and dirty and talk about the actual park experience, everything that we did, how it worked, what didn't work. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for segment 3 of our big Greetings from Walt Disney World episode. And now we're going to talk about our experiences in the parks. We did Magic Kingdom, we did Epcot, and we're going to talk about the other parks as well, even though we didn't get to them this time. But first, a sponsored message from our friends at Progressive Insurance.
Progressive RV customers can also sign up for vacation liability and optional coverage that protects you if others are injured around your RV or campsite. To sign up for optional liability protection of up to $500,000, call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visit progressive.com/RV.
Let's talk Magic Kingdom.
Okay.
And it holds up after all these
it
years.
Did.
You know, the first time I went to the Magic Kingdom as a little kid, it blew me away. As I became a teenager, I was maybe somewhat less impressed by it. But now coming back as an adult with three young boys, it was better than it has ever been. I had so much fun at the Magic Kingdom.
I did not go into this feeling extremely Disney. Pro Disney, right? So I kind of thought that I was doing this for my children. I did not have an awe-inspiring Disney experience in my childhood. It was kind of like, blah, whatever, okay. I don't know what all the hype is about. But, you know, I know
Stephanie's
you love
Disney.
Stephanie's
family stayed in Arkansas and commuted into the park, I think.
No,
I'm just kidding.
We didn't. It just, I don't know. It just wasn't that much fun.
I, on the other hand,
went.
Did. I did 4 Disney trips with my grandparents, yeah. And they were magical.
So I was doing this because you love Disney, and I thought our kids would love Disney. So I can get on board with things, and I do get on
and
board with
on
things.
Board, she did.
And I can say that it truly, I was like, after we got there on Sunday, we scheduled our Magic Kingdom day for Monday. I definitely wanted to jump right into that and get that whole experience. And I'm glad we did it that way because it was, I was like, oh, this is what everybody's talking about. It truly was a wonderful day.
And it is, you know, I was there over 20 years ago. They've added a lot, right? I mean, it still has everything that it did then and more. Now, the first tip, if you're staying at Fort Wilderness, take the boat ride from Fort Wilderness to the Magic Kingdom. It's free. It's part of what you're paying for already. It's a lovely, relaxing boat ride to get over to the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, great way to start the day. And the park opens at 9, and we were at the boat by 8. You know, and maybe a little bit later, maybe 8:05 or 8:10, we were in the boat, went right over to the Magic Kingdom. We were through the gates and security before the park even opened, which meant that we followed our huge number one travel tip that we're always telling people. And we know if you're not warning people, it sounds like enough already. Stop telling us. But the difference between these parks at 9 a.m. and at 11 a.m. is staggering.
The number of people that show up at around 10:30, yeah. 11 is incredible, right? And the first day we gangbusters. We were at Magic Kingdom before the gates opened. Second day in Epcot, we were a little bit slower. We still got onto the ride we wanted to get on, but you could see the crowds pouring in. So get
yes.
there early.
We weren't there before it opened, and that it's like a domino effect with those things. Getting through the gates takes longer. Getting through security takes longer. So I can honestly say it sets the tone for your entire day when you get there and what you do when you immediately get there. So we already said that our strategy was to go to the most popular ride that you want to go on so that you get there before it, you know, the lines build up. And if you go right away at opening, you're only going to have that 5-10 minute wait. So it
works.
Which
basically just means like the length of time it takes to walk to the roller coaster. Yeah, because it's not even a wait, really.
It isn't. It just takes
so
long.
When Disney says 10 minutes, it means it's going to take you 10 minutes to walk in.
Yeah.
Now, also, our next tip, take advantage of ride swap. Mm-hmm. Now, this did not exist when I was a kid. Stephanie, can you explain ride swap? Because it's another game changer that makes the guest experience so much better.
It really does. So if you have a little one like we do, Wesley, who is a different height than his older brothers, which means he can't yet ride
so many
on
rides,
a lot of the
little
rides.
Wesley couldn't go on. That was a little tough.
He's just under 40 inches, which is kind of like that really bad age because they're almost there, but they're not quite there. So what happens is one of us has to stay with him and the other can ride with the two. But they don't want, like, if Jeremy goes on with Max and Theo, they don't want one of us, like me, to have to wait in line afterwards all by myself or then for the other boys to have
or
to wait in line
go.
With
Let's
me.
Face it,
right.
The reality is that mom or dad in 10, 20 years ago just wouldn't go on the ride.
Exactly. So what they do, and I love this process, and we're going to contrast it with two other parks that we've been to in their version of ride swap in our Universal episode. So I'm not going to compare them on this episode, but I will do it on another. The way Disney does it, they do it right. What they do is they just hand the other parent, it's like a little lanyard, and it has a ride swap for that particular ride on it. And you can just put it around your neck. The other parent, you know, Jeremy goes on Space Mountain with Max and Theo. They have a great time. When they get off, I don't have to use that ride swap right then.
Meaning the ride swap, meaning you can cut to the front of the line and get right on the ride, just to be clear.
Basically, it's a
fast pass for the ride.
So,
and you can bring the kids back on with you.
Yes,
so they can do
up
it
to
twice.
Two. Right. So you and two people. So you don't have to like be all by yourself riding a ride all sad-like. But the nice part is that you don't have to do it right then. So that's important because if Jeremy goes on Space Mountain with the two boys and he gets off, well, by the time that happens, we might have another fast pass that we want to get to. And we might not have time for that ride swap. That's okay. You don't have to do it then. You can come back later. It's basically like giving yourself an extra fast pass. And we did that with Soarin', you know,
we did it with a bunch
Epcot.
Of rides.
Yeah.
And it was one of the best things going at Disney. A parent should not have to miss a ride because one of the little guys can't get on it.
Yeah. So I had heard that it was convenient. But the way that Disney does it is more convenient than any other sort of parent swap situation that I've ever seen. Two thumbs up on that. It was awesome.
Now, our next tip, be sentimental and go on those classic rides, whether your kids say they want to go on them or not. I have fond, lovely memories of It's a Small World After All.
You hear both sides of the story from people. Some people are like, oh my God. Yeah.
And I wanted to take them on it. Now, Max and Theo wanted to head off to roller coasters and more big, exciting rides. But I'm like, we're going on It's a Small World.
Yeah. They liked it. I hear from people
like,
oh, this is a horror. But they really enjoyed that. And then another one that you were really like, we have to get to was Pirates of the Caribbean because that was sentimental for you.
It's one of my favorites.
Well, that ended up being their favorite ride.
And I was kind of shocked. I mean, they liked it more than Space Mountain.
I know. Isn't that funny?
And Thunder Mountain.
And the Mine Train. The Mine Train was really great. I love the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train.
That was awesome, too. When I was a teenager, Big Thunder Mountain Railroad was my favorite. My grandfather took my cousin and I to Disney World in October one fall, and we were about 14 years old, and he let us go off to the parks on our own. It was very uncrowded. We did Thunder Mountain over and over and over again all day, and it was just as good as I remembered it, and the boys loved it.
Yeah, so they love that. We definitely sent them out. While you did that, I actually fast-passed Wes for Dumbo, and I took him on that classic young kid first ride at Disney. I was like, he has to go on Dumbo. It's like every kid goes on Dumbo. And he loved it. And he said that that was his favorite ride at the end of the day. We also dragged the boys on some of the rides for Wes. Like we said, like you're going on these rides that he can't even get on. And he's waiting outside. So we like made
and
them go
I
on
think,
the Little Mermaid.
I think Max and Theo liked those types of rides
I think they do
more
too.
Than they probably would admit.
I think so too. I think they absolutely enjoyed the like just like watching the landscape goes by.
Yeah. My brother out of nowhere was like, oh, I want to do this ride. I want to do that ride.
Yeah.
He's like, we've got to do Haunted Mansion. He's like, Jeremy, don't you remember doing Haunted Mansion?
The thing is I wouldn't have brought the boys into the Haunted Mansion.
I didn't even remember the Haunted
Mansion. I didn't remember
it
either. But once we were in there, I remembered it.
It's still good.
And because he said that, it's a sentimental thing. And he said he wanted to go to the Haunted Mansion. We went there. That is the nice part about having your grandma, your mom showing up. It was nice that she could wait. Outside
she
with Wes.
She was more than happy to wait with Wes. So having a grandma or grandpa around can be clutch.
Yeah. So, and then, we did ones like that it really is about experiencing memories from your childhood and everything. So,
And we caught that parade.
We did. And then the parade goes through at 3 p.m. Now, here's something that I want to say. My boys aren't character kids, really. So I didn't make this big push to schedule character events. Like Mickey's Backyard Barbecue, I scheduled on Thursday, all the way at the end of our stay. Because to be honest with you, like our kids don't even like to sit on Santa's lap, like ever. Like they're not those kinds of kids. They kind of like resist it and I don't push it. But Disney brings out something different in kids. So by the first day, they were all looking for the characters. Like Wes really wanted to see the characters and that surprised me.
Wes doesn't want to get a hug.
He doesn't.
Or take a picture with them.
No, he wouldn't.
He wants to stand about 5 feet away and walk.
Right. And so I was surprised all of a sudden he was asking to see characters. So I would just say maybe as a parent and scheduling, even if you think your kids aren't too into characters, it probably is better to schedule something early in the trip because I was starting to stress like, oh my gosh, I don't have anything scheduled till Thursday and he's looking for Mickey. But the parade was perfect because he got to see every single character go by and he like had his fill and we were good to go. So that was like, phew, that worked.
And the parade was just, again, an example of how Disney really catches this great spirit of Americana, how the music is so good. Live performance. Disney is so much more than the rides. It's live entertainment everywhere you go of world-class quality.
And speaking of the live, the entertainment factor, of course, the evening fireworks, the wishes, is really super popular. And one of the bonuses to staying at the fort is that you get a really great view of the fireworks from the beach at the settlement. So for a family like ours, where we got there at 8:30 in the morning, and we're really not up to, we don't really have the stamina to stay through. People
to
stay do it,
hours.
Honey. People do it.
And not with a 3-year-old. I mean, if you do, good for you, but yeah, that's not for us.
It's not for us. So by about 6 o'clock, we were ready to go. And it was nice that we could go back and we ate dinner at the restaurant that's right there at the settlement, Trails End Restaurant. The boys played at the playground while we waited for a table. And then we went down to the beach and we watched the fireworks. So that's an example of how that campground experience really helped us feel relaxed and rested at the end of a busy day and not like exhausted.
Saying to your kids, in the late afternoon after a long day at a theme park, hey, let's go back to Fort Wilderness. That's not a letdown. That's awesome. Where I feel like, saying, hey, you guys want to go back to the hotel? It's not the same, right?
Right.
Now, that was the Magic Kingdom. Mm-hmm. Shall we go to Epcot,
dear? Let's talk about Epcot,
The experimental prototype community of tomorrow, which I don't know if they actually call it that anymore.
They just
but
call
they
it
used
Epcot.
To.
All right. So we had the same ride strategy there. We went right to Soarin', saw how much that was a good strategy because the difference between that first 10-minute wait and then, like you said, the 40-minute wait.
Best ride.
It was so good.
Ever.
I
was blown away.
I was giggling as I walked out of that ride. That was so much
fun. It's like
fun.
You're soaring. It's like a journey around the world. You're soaring around the world. And it is sort of virtual reality. This blew me away about both Epcot and Magic Kingdom. So many of the new rides are virtual reality based rides.
Yeah.
And they're amazing.
Right. So I like the ones that combine the movement and the virtual reality. So some of them are becoming more just straight up virtual reality. Like there's the one at Epcot that we went on looking for. Oh, Mission Space. I felt like that was overrated. That was all virtual reality. You're just in this little pod.
The one where I felt sick to my stomach.
Now, that has a track record of doing that because
we were with Keith and Tia and their kids for the day at Epcot. And, they've been to Disney many times, season pass holders. And I came off the ride and I saw them and I was like, I feel kind of queasy, you know, because I went on like the advanced version
of
it. Yeah,
there's like an easy version and an advanced.
I had motion sickness.
Right.
And Keith's like, I told you, they had to bring me out in a wheelchair. Like, he really got sick and
he
didn't
feel well.
He said
he almost like passed out. So,
and I felt that too, man. I didn't.
But I think that
But I went on the advanced one. I don't think you did.
I don't know if I would, though, because I'm not that sensitive. I never get motion sickness. So I think that, though, the virtual reality rides may have more – you may be more prone to that.
Well, and I had – just had like a gallon of iced tea before I went on this ride, too. I came off in bad shape. And yeah. Keith was like, oh, you know, I – this
for hours afterwards, yeah, you're like, I don't
He had it
so
even
good.
Worse.
So, but we did love Spaceship Earth stood up to the test of time, right? In the big ball. We went on there.
Totally enjoyed it.
The boys loved it.
One of my colleagues at work said, oh, they haven't updated Epcot. It's not the experimental community of tomorrow anymore. You know, I don't know. It's still all those rides that I liked 20 years ago, I almost liked even more now.
Yeah, well, there's the kitsch factor. But then the boys loved the test track
ride. Not
the
kitsch factor. It's the kid factor. It's having those little guys next to you amazed that makes it
I think
it
it's both. It's like their experience plus your memories. You know, it's the combination of both of those things. But honestly, watching our boys like engage with those rides, like Spaceship Earth, they were like asking questions about all the historical moments and everything. Like they were really engaged. And I thought, wow, this does hold up to the test of time. So the test track, though, the boys love. That's where you designed your own car. And then it, like the roller coaster.
And it's like a big ad for Chevy. It's a sort of another realization that some of these rides are sponsored now. You know, it's like you're going through a commercial. And I'm not saying that resentfully. It was awesome.
No, like RVFTA, something can be sponsored and good content at the same time.
Yeah, the test track was a really great ride. Really nice kind of roller coaster experience. And the boys really loved designing their cars.
They did. They loved that. And there was a competition. And like their different cars won different things. So, of course, they were yelling.
I think that my car with
Theo
won quite a number of things.
It did. So me and Max were not as bold and brazen in our design,
I
guess.
You guys got like best fuel efficiency.
We did.
Theo and I were like fastest, strongest, boldest, bravest. And Mommy and Max were like most fuel efficient.
Don't make it sound boring. We had fun. All right. Now, Wesley, of course, loved the Nemo, the Under the Seas with Nemo. And that was, again, it was like we said to the boys, like, now Wesley gets a turn. And we went on those. And it's almost necessary, I think, for the older two even. It was like a break. And they could just like sit there and relax and like
unscramble their
brains. I enjoyed
the West rides. I'm telling you, they enjoyed the West rides. We all enjoyed the West rides.
Okay. Now, I want to talk about going over to the countries.
Awesome.
Yes. Okay. But that's that whole tension of like, that is more of an adult experience in a lot of ways than it is a kid experience. I can see now for the first time ever, like as an adult going back there, I can see why adults go alone because I would love to just be there wandering from country to country, eating and drinking in
every
country.
And they seem to be doing more festivals, arts festivals, food and wine festivals. Epcot's kind of become that cultured spot.
But I'm going to tell you a way that you can get through it with kids and keep them engaged because the My Disney Experience app, before we went to Epcot, I had gone through like the schedule on the computer and looked at like the different performances in each country, like the Chinese acrobats, the Voices of Freedom that was in America.
The French acrobats, if you want to call them acrobats, they were incredible.
The waiter. Yeah, the waiter
and chef.
The French waiter
climbing on the chairs.
Right.
Awesome.
So I put those different shows into the Disney app. Not that it's a reservation, but what that did was it just helped me remember what the times were. So it was like in that app, I could see, oh, the Voices of Freedom are at 3. And, you know, you don't want to remember those kinds of things. So it was so nice. Not that we had to get to each one of the performances. We weren't treating it like that. But after we ate at Germany, it was nice because I could look at the app and I was like, oh, well, we can go to this show or we can go to that show.
Yeah, we caught two or three different live music performances.
And they were good.
They were so good.
And the boys loved them. They sat there, absolutely.
And what were the singers that we saw in America?
The Voices of Liberty.
The Voices of Liberty. Liberty. It's like a world-class concert as part of your Disney
invasion. They were amazing. And we sat there in the rotunda, and the boys were just literally staring at them like mouths open. They were good.
It's a journey into America's history. People might think that's corny. I don't care. A trip to Magic Kingdom or Epcot is a journey into the heart and soul of Americana.
But I think that looking for those performances will definitely engage your kids more in the countries. So, like, they can watch. I had a glass of French wine, I think, while the boys watched the chef and the waiter do their
climbing on chairs, like 20 feet into the air. That was an amazing performance.
My heart was in my throat. Didn't you feel
it
like
is,
anxious?
And it makes me think about the price, because you could complain about the price of a ticket for Epcot. You know, you could complain about the price of a ticket for the Magic Kingdom, but you are getting so much entertainment packed into that ticket price. It's incredible.
That's what blew me away on this trip. I was not expecting to be so amazed and awed by the live entertainment. I was like, you know, we don't do a lot of that with the boys. Since the boys have been born, we live outside of New York City. So before they were born, we would do a Broadway show here and there. You know, get up in there. Yeah, The Lion King or Cats.
Funny thing happened on the way to the Forum.
Yeah, or Phantom of the Opera.
A Doll's House, if we were feeling smarty.
We've seen all of those shows on Broadway. You could just go on and list these shows that we've seen. And yet, once we had the kids, you know, that's not so much a part of our life anymore. And just having that experience again, like going to the Hoop to do a review with the boys and watching really talented people dance and sing and make you laugh, that was just so invigorating. And I love that. And I didn't feel bad at all about spending the money anymore.
Not at all. And those really talented people that can dance and sing are popping out of the woodwork at Disney World. You turn the corner and there's another live performance or more music or more dancing. It's everywhere you go.
Now, we opted out of Hollywood Studios and Animal Kingdom on this trip. And the reason why we did that was because we only had 3 days for theme parks because we wanted to spend a day at the campground. And the third day was a toss-up between Hollywood Studios and Universal Studios.
And you hadn't bought those tickets in advance, and we literally were deciding.
We were going back and forth, back and forth. But I was pretty set on Harry Potter World, which is at Universal Studios, because of the fact that the boys are so much at that perfect age of their life for Harry Potter. They dressed as Harry Potter and Ron Weasley for Halloween. Like, they've read the books, they've watched all the movies. And I just felt like, you know, Star Wars, they're going to be loving Star Wars for years and years to come. But like, they're having a Harry Potter moment. And I really just thought that this would capture them a little bit more right now. So we did opt to go with that. And we'll talk about why we think that was such a good decision.
It was so amazing. We're just going to do a show on it.
Right.
Okay. We just are.
It deserves a whole review. But then, so next time we will.
Next week.
No, next time we go, we'll go to Hollywood
Next
Studios.
Time, there is next year when we go, since I already booked our site. Don't tell the boys. Now, we can't play this episode around the boys, by the way, because we often play these around them. There's no doubt in my mind we'll go to Hollywood Studios. Mm-hmm. Okay. Animal Kingdom, we'll see.
Right.
Definitely going to Hollywood Studios for them to do their Jedi training.
Yeah. And Animal Kingdom, you know, I know a lot of people say, oh, we like this or that there. But for me, I think next time, I don't know if we'll ever do more than two of the parks in one trip. For us, that was a really good balance.
I think even if you're going to Disney World for a week, that 3 park days is plenty.
And we will alternate. So next year, what we'll do is we will alternate days, right, for the parks. So we'll do a park day, we'll do a campground day. We'll do a park day, we'll do a campground day.
I strongly believe in that approach. Fort Wilderness is so much fun. You don't have to go to a theme park every day. And what you can do is, if you're going to do a couple days at Fort Wilderness, schedule the Hoop-Dee-Doo or schedule Mickey's Backyard Barbecue. Both happen at Fort Wilderness, and then you can have a super special day right at the fort.
And another really convenient character meal, if you want to do it, is Chef Mickey, which, you know, people love because it's just a great – first of all, it's actually really good food. I thought that the breakfast there
was excellent.
But all of the characters are there during that breakfast, so it's like one shot –
they come to every table.
Yeah. You get every single character
coming. We at one point said, Mickey hasn't come over yet. And they went and got Mickey.
They went and got Chef Mickey. So Chef Mickey is actually at the Contemporary. And the nice thing about Fort Wilderness is that it has a boat that goes right to the Contemporary too. So it has a boat that goes to the Magic Kingdom and a boat that goes to the Contemporary. So that is just such an easy type of relaxed way to enjoy a character meal as opposed to it being in the park while
you're
there.
And I wouldn't do that and then go to a theme park. I would do that on the day you're not going to a theme park.
And that's what we did. We did Chef Mickey on Wednesday morning. We knew we needed a break from the parks after two long days. We decided, okay, shift of plans. We're going to move Harry Potter World to Thursday. We're going to do a campground day on Wednesday. And we're going to do our character breakfast that morning. We went. I used my Disney Experience app. I was sitting there like I was like, let's go. Let's find a reservation. I found one for 9 a.m. We went over. We had breakfast. We came back on the boat and we had the entire day at the campground. It was a fantastic day.
And if you can bring a grandmother who will treat for Chef Mickey.
Yeah, that's
helpful. We recommend doing so.
Yeah, that was a bonus. I was like, woohoo.
It was a nice surprise. Thank you. Thank you, Grandma.
It was. So I really, I highly recommend moving those character experiences outside of the park day. And also, I think that's a good example of how, like I said, we plan, but we also plan to be flexible. So when something came up at the end of Tuesday, we realized we were both leaning towards needing a day.
We were leaning hard. We were tired. By the way,
we went with
do your stretches before you do the theme parks.
Did you pull a muscle?
I am embarrassed to say
I totally
pulled a calf muscle the first day at the Magic Kingdom. I literally had a Disney World injury. It's a ton of walking. Bring comfortable shoes. Do your stretches in the morning. And Grandma hurt her back. It's so much
walking.
Oh,
and then Wes, like, hurt his knee, like, running to the Meadows Trading Post at one point. So everybody has Disney injuries. I guess, like the paramedics practically, like, came out for Wesley, right? So, like, I wasn't there. But, like, I think
he ended up being okay. But somebody, Disney service. Somebody, like, jumped out and got a band-aid for
him.
And
they had
everything.
The first aid kit and everything. They blew me away from top to bottom. I have to say I'm sorry to everybody that I ever kind of secretly and privately rolled my eyes at you as you were talking about how much you love Disney. I truly apologize. I understand it now.
I do.
I feel bad.
I want to say this too.
It was ignorant.
As someone who, you know, we have a family business and I'm a teacher, to see the Walt Disney World in action as an adult is just to see a company that is doing, like, everything right at such a high level of performance and customer service. It literally inspired me for my own work. And I know that sounds corny, but you watch how they handle all the little details at Disney, and the magic is in the details, both small and big.
Absolutely. And it was magical. All right. So that's all of the details about our Disney, you know, a wonderful Disney experience. Stay tuned. We'll be right back to wrap up the show.
Thank you so much for listening to episode 128. It took us 128 episodes
to get to Disney World.
Greetings from Walt Disney World, the most magical place on earth. And I was going to tell you to title this episode part one.
Oh, really?
At the end.
Okay, no, but it's all Disney.
This will happen again.
We'll
have fresh coverage in a year.
2017. That's what we do now. We put in the year.
Well, it'll be 2018 next year.
This year will be 2017.
Also, a big thank you to the Thetford Corporation, to Jayco, and to Campgrounds of America.
And also, thank you to Lazy D's for helping us arrange that fabulous RV rental experience. I am so inspired to just travel everywhere and rent an RV now whenever it's too far to drive.
Stay tuned for a whole episode on the Lazy Days experience.
Absolutely. And also thank you to Progressive. Adding an RV policy to another policy like a home, auto, motorcycle, or boat is a great way to save time and money. Get on the road to savings by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV for more information.
And don't forget, this is a paired podcast. This goes along with our episode of Campground of the Week this week, which is a complete review of Fort Wilderness. So thank you for joining us, and we'll see you at the fort.
See you at the fort.